Tonight I'd like to invite you over back over to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 57 this evening. Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Luke chapter 1, verse 57 reads this way. It says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We thank you for the privilege once again of being able to gather together in your house as your people, as your church. And Lord, we pray for your blessing. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, guide us to hear from you. And Lord, once again, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, Lord, in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, that we might truly see your greatness and, Lord, your will for our lives. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, "And they rejoiced with her." That's a good thing to do. "And they rejoiced with her." So she wasn't alone. She had people to rejoice with. I think God wants us to rejoice together and to enjoy all of the blessings of God. So tonight, just for a few moments, we want to consider how God works among his people to bring not only his will, but joy and rejoicing in our hearts and minds. And so tonight, as we consider our text, we want to see how God works among his people, among neighbors and cousins. And then secondly, we'll take a look at how God works among his people when naming the child on the eighth day. And then next, we'll notice how God works among his people concerning a personal faith-building trial. And lastly, we'll consider how God works among his people when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's God's will, and God wants us to enjoy that. That's what builds our faith. What builds our faith, again, is a personal experience with God. We don't have a faith that's in the unknown, in the invisible. God brings things to pass in our lives. And so we want to be reminded that as we walk through this world, God says he holds us in his hands, and he says he wants to show us his way, not our way, not the way of the world. And so for that, we have to have a personal interaction with the Lord, and that's what solidifies our faith. We continue to see as the Lord leads us along. And one of those ways that he works in our lives is through trials. And here's the battle, that we don't see the person or the situation, listen carefully, but that we see God in that. So that we don't see a person, sometimes people can be very unkind. Do you believe that? Forget about the person. Realize God allowed that. You remember when Shimei was cursing David as him and his soldiers were leaving because Absalom had taken over the kingdom? And remember what one of his men said, "Let me go over there and just take his head off. I'll just do it one time." And he says, no, because God has said, who was David seeing? And that he would give me a blessing for his cursing this day. Listen, we need to get our eyes off of mankind, and we need to see the Lord in either the situation that we're in concerning another human being or something that happens in our lives. We don't understand why, but it comes to this place to where we trust the Lord is in control and is working this out for our good. And it doesn't appear to be good at the moment. You remember Joseph and his brothers? I don't think he said, "Man, I am so glad they threw me into this pit. I can't wait for them to sell me to the Ishmaelites." I'm sure that was not on his heart, was not on his mind. And yet, you know, through the whole time, he trusted in the Lord. How do you know that, Brother George? Because God was with him. The Bible says God was with him. Do you think you know when God is with you? How did the Israelites know that God was with them? Well, the 10 plagues in Egypt. And by the way, they didn't receive that very readily and very easily because there was hardships that were pressed upon him. They didn't really always see the Lord in that, but God was still with them. See, God is faithful even if we're not. I don't understand that, but God is faithful. But it's better for us when we are in tune with the Lord to see his faithfulness. And so that we can rejoice, I can rest, God is in control. But your world is flipped upside down. God is in control, and nothing comes into my life unless God sees it for my what? Let's try that again. Nothing. God doesn't let anything into my life or into your life unless God sees it for our what?
For our good. That's important. Listen, that ought to be in our hearts and our minds. Do you mean to tell me if Shimei curses you, that's for your good? Oh, yes, it is. Yes, because God allowed it into your life, and we don't have to resist it. We can just say, Lord, you know, I thank you. We're to give God thanks in how many things? Isn't that amazing? You mean when Shimei curses you? That's all things, wouldn't it? That's all things. Now listen, the only way that we will do that is if we trust the Lord. That He is in control and He's allowing that. And that is not, listen, that is not automatic. That is not something that we can even condition ourselves to do. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see that you work out all things for your glory and for my good. I don't see that automatically. I want you to know, just in case you wondered, when somebody does me wrong, sometimes I just see the somebody that's doing me wrong. I don't see God behind the somebody who allowed it. See, I don't always see that. But if I pray and ask the Lord, God allows me to see it. Amen. And then you know what kind of a heart God gives to me? They don't know my Jesus. They don't have the peace that God has given to me. And so there, listen, if there's no Jesus, there's no what?
No peace.
There's no peace if there's no Jesus. And so when we have the Lord, if we proclaim to have the Lord, shouldn't we have the peace of God as well? And so all we have to do is by faith receive that. What is that? That word faith is interchangeable with what other word?
Trust.
So, Lord, I trust you that you hold me in your hands and that you work out all things for my good. See, listen. God is not wanting us to learn a new doctrine without being devoted to our God. See, God wants our devotion, our commitment, our loyalty, because He's faithful and He's loyal to us and He's gracious. And are God's thoughts higher than my thoughts? Are God's thoughts higher than your thoughts? By how much? Infinite, right? They're infinitely higher than our thoughts. And so is God trustworthy? Is He worthy of our trust? Even when life doesn't make sense? If you've made it this far, if you've made it into your teenage years, some things have happened in your life that didn't make sense, right? Even as a little kid, I think some things don't make sense, but we don't know any better really at that age. We just trust mom and dad, don't we? Mom and dad. When you were growing up as a kid, maybe I shouldn't ask this question, but you know, I never worried about where the food was coming from. I knew something growing up as a kid. 6 o'clock was dinner time. And I needed to make sure that I was where at 6 o'clock? At home for dinner. And for one thing, if I wasn't, I'd get in trouble. And for second thing, I didn't want to miss out on dinner. And that's a good thing to do. And so I could count on my parents, specifically my mom, but I knew my dad did the grocery shopping, and my mom always made sure dinner was served. Amen? I never had to worry about having dinner. If I can trust my mom and dad, how much more could I trust my Heavenly Father who made everything out of nothing? Wow. And so just fathom that thought when you think about putting your faith and trust in the Lord. It's just a matter of letting go and letting God. Do you remember the story? The true story somebody shared. It's in Knight's books of illustration, some of the things that he has collected together of different people and their different things that the Lord has done in their lives. In this particular case, this person was battling with allowing God to rule in their lives. And so they'd go into their prayer closet, and then they decided with a flannel graph to write, let God. And they wanted to let God be God in their life. And they battled with that. They battled with that so much, and they said, I don't understand, I don't know why, I just feel like I can't let God be God in my life. So they walked out of their prayer closet and they slammed the door. And they said, Lord, why can't I just let you be God in my life? And they thought, you know what, I'll just go back in and I believe God's going to give me the answer. I'm going to ask God to give me the answer. And when he opened up the door on the flannel graph there, the D on God fell off. And when they walked in, it said, let go. Let go. That's the only way you can let God, is to let go. And so God wants us really to, it's all about trusting Him. It's easy to trust Him when everything's going our way. But how about when things don't go our way? Every time things don't go our way, do you know that's God working on ourself to do what? To let go and trust Him. When things, it's an opportunity that we can call a grace opportunity to receive the grace of God. So let's consider some things tonight. And notice with me in verse 57 how God works among His people, even when there's neighbors and cousins that are involved. So here's Elizabeth full time. She's going to be delivered. And she brings forth her son. So here comes the son. Now remember, Elizabeth, she was barren. And her husband, no children. And so what happens? The neighbors come, verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins. What did they do? They heard how the Lord had showed what? Great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. You know, that ought to be the... Listen, we ought to rejoice with one another when we hear what God is doing in one another's lives. Because we all know this, none of us deserve it. You know, if God gives us anything, it's His mercy and His grace, and we ought to rejoice, Lord, because none of us deserve Your mercy, Your grace, or Your kindness. And so, when You bless one of my brothers and sisters in Christ, man, it's like You're doing it to me too. I thank You, God. I love to hear God's goodness and His mercy and His blessings in the lives of other believers. It builds my faith. I love for people to tell me, let me tell you what God has done in my life, or let me tell you this situation, and you know it's only the Lord that is working, and that ought to lift up our hearts. Listen, was there any doubt in the minds of the neighbors or the cousins that God had paid a visit to Zacharias and Elizabeth? Was there any doubt where that came from? So they're rejoicing because God was doing something. They weren't just celebrating because they happened to have a good windfall. What does that mean, windfall? The wind blew and something happened to fall on your lap that was by chance? No, God purposes everything to take place. God has a plan and a place for everything is in order with the Lord. And so there are, listen, God says, if you bless my people, I'll bless you. Is that still true today? God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. Is that true for anybody? Absolutely. And so God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so don't let these blessings say, oh, well, that was back for Zacharias and Elizabeth. No, these are patterns for us to realize and to learn what God has for you and me. Not necessarily the exact same blessing, but nonetheless, the blessing of God in your life and mine. That's what builds our faith, when we can see the Lord working and when we're receiving and we find Him providing His provisions for us that we don't provide for ourselves. And so here they are working, the Lord is working, and they're seeing this, and they're rejoicing with her. And then notice how God works among His people when naming the child on the eighth day. This is a new thing, right? Let's be pliable for new things. Zacharias, this was something that never happened in his personal life. This was something that never happened in Elizabeth's life. Now you remember, because he doubted, the Lord made him mute, didn't he? Couldn't speak. All right, so what happens here in verse 59? Here's what it says. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. So this was kind of the custom, right? You name him after your father. And so, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they're all looking like, what? What? Wait a minute. You're breaking our tradition. Well, listen, let's break our tradition for God's will and way. Amen. And so verse 61, and they said unto her, there's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. So here we find that if it's not by the father, it's at least by some relative that you would name somebody after, right? And so, and they made signs to his father. So they're making signs. I don't know what they're, here, land over here. You know, they're making signs to him. What is this? What is Elizabeth talking about? And so how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled, how many of them? They're all going, now wait a minute. They were just rejoicing with Elizabeth because God had, look at our nature. Look at our nature. We revert to our thinking. We fall right back. Wait, that makes absolutely no sense. You don't have any relatives that are named John. Why are you going to name him John? Well, let me ask you, why are they both wanting to name him John? Because that's what God said. They're going to name that you're going to name him. And why would they listen? Why would Zacharias and Elizabeth seek to name their son John? Because John came from where? It came from God. God had provided, and you know what? You know what that was really? You know why they followed the Lord? Because they were thankful. They were given something that they longed for. And you know, when God gives that, you know, we return thanks. You know, that's what we do really when we ask the blessing on our food. We're giving God thanks, aren't we? We know that the Lord said he would take care of us. May we never get to the place to where we think, well, I bought this food. Well, pray tell, who gave you the health to earn the money and to live in a country to where we have unhealthy choices, not just healthy choices. We have a lot of, I mean, my goodness, you know, there are people, did you know this? There are people in Africa that live without running water and electricity today. I don't know why. It's been a couple, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. I watched this guy who they call him a foodie, travels all over the world. And he went to this African village. Oh, they were nice. They weren't sickly. They weren't crying that they were in poverty. He went to go eat with them. And I couldn't tell you the name of the tribe, but they had to trek so many miles away. And lo and behold, they had these huts that they lived in. And they were all there, and they had goats, and they were going to have fresh goats, and they ate things I would never eat. But anyway, and this guy was not afraid to try it. There's no way I could put it in my mouth, especially when it was dealing with organs and things like that. And it wasn't the kind of organ that you play that came from the goat. And I thought, oh, and some of it was, I think, on the raw side. And anyway, these people lived like that, and they were happy. But you know what? Listen. If we're not careful, we become selfish. Amen. We have so much more. We've been given so much more. And with where much is given, much is required. And may we never forget, thank you, God. Why? First of all, why did you save me? Here's something. Why did you create me? I'm glad I'm here. And not only that, but then you saved me and you placed me in the best country in the whole world. I'll give Israel second, but this is the best country. I mean, this is, to me, this is home. I wouldn't want it. There's no other country I'd rather live in. And I am thankful for what God, we ought to be thankful. But if we're not careful, God says, let me show you how to enjoy these things. And then we say, but why, Lord? Why are you doing this in my life? You know, when we start doing that, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. It's okay to ask why. But come to the resolution that, you know what, Lord, sometimes I'm not going to understand your best for my life. But you know what, Lord, I want to resolve myself to follow your best, even when I don't understand it. That'd be a good place to be. And so they're making these signs, and they said, we're going to name him John. And the Bible says they marveled, all of them, in verse 63. So this is how God works in his people concerning a personal faith-building trial. And we're going to focus in on Zacharias here at this particular time. And so now, so look what they did. Elizabeth said, nope, we're going to call him, they wanted to call him Zacharias, nope, we're going to call him John. And so they're confused like that. Wait a minute, we've never done it like that before. And so you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to your husband. Well, he's on board too. But wait a minute. Something happened to Zacharias because of his unbelief. Now watch. God is going to bring this. He told him what he was going to do. And I don't know what's on his heart and mind. I know this part. Ready? I know this part. He saw his son. And he said, I'm going to name him exactly. I don't think this is any more. I don't think it's because he wants to get his voice back. I think it's because he's praising the Lord. In the midst of that, God is going to bless him. And so he writes down and he says, his name's going to be John. And verse 64, and his mouth was opened how long? immediately. Look what the Lord did. Look what the Lord is. Follow this now. He honored God, and God honored him.
Amen.
And he did immediately. Immediately, God honored him. The Bible says immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake. And what did he do when he began to talk? He praised God. So listen, do you think he was praising God because we're just told to praise God, or did he have a reason to praise God? Listen, God wants to work in our lives to give us cause to praise his name. And so listen, how can you interact with God and have a cause to praise his name? Well, God said, first of all, he gave us the whole New Testament to say how the believer ought to walk. That our manner of conversation is not just what we say, but how we live our lives. And so if you're willing to trust the Lord in that, and you tell the Lord, and by the way, Lord, I don't have the strength to live a holy life. Do you? I don't have the natural tendency to seek God out. I don't. I don't have the natural tendency to pray. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever gone 1 week or 1 day without praying and talking? I'm not talking about, listen, it's good to pray in the car. I'm all for that. But wait a minute. Is God not worthy of me making a separated time alone with him that I might fall before God and praise him and say, oh God, I need you. So that's the kind of prayer that I'm talking. Do you have a prayer time as Daniel did? Amen. That's the biblical pattern. And if not, ask God to give you one. And watch what he will do. And he will, in the midst of that, give you occasion to praise him. That's a good thing to do. Now, I will tell you this. That is not a natural tendency for me. I dare say it's probably not a natural tendency for all of us. So do you know what I do? I ask God to do that for me. And then when he does that for me, and I enjoy it, and I say, what have I been missing all my life, amen, what have I been doing? And I praise his name. Thank you, God. Because I can count on you and your faithfulness. Now, you can't do that for me, and I can't do that for you. But you can do that for yourself between you and the Lord. And that is how you bring God. Listen, Lord, you said that I am not to speak any unkind words against any, speak no evil of no man. Isn't that what the Bible says? All right? So that means nothing unkind. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I need the Lord to help me to do that. In fact, I need the Lord to do that for me. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever been put out with somebody? We all have, haven't we? Have you all spoken unkind words about somebody? These are things that we know. But God has asked us not to do that. And here's the key. Ready? I can't do that. But God has promised to do that for me. As I abide in him and he abides in me, I will bear fruit. I will bear more fruit. He will do it through me. Now, I'm not bearing fruit, but he's going to bear the fruit through me. And he's going to bear much fruit. So let's not complicate things. Let's just ask the Lord to do the things that maybe nobody else will see. Oh, but they'll see it. Because when God is working, there's a different spirit about us. There's his spirit. And we become approachable because we walk humbly with the Lord in order for him to fulfill these things. And we have him doing these things. And God gives us these occasions to praise him that the world may not even see. But you will see it. You will see it as Zacharias saw it. So he spake and he praised the Lord in verse 64, verse 65. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. This is because God was working in Zechariah's life. So here's the question. What do you want to do? Do you want to work for God or do you want God to work for you? If you work for God, you're not going to have a lot to praise the Lord for. It just won't work that way. But if you allow God to work for you, he gets all the glory and we get to give all the praise. And that's the way God wants us to enjoy the salvation that he's given to us. And so here's the Lord working in the life of Zacharias, and this is affecting everybody. And so verse 66 says, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts at saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, listen, isn't this amazing? Fathom this thought. The neighbors and the cousins and all the people that were there said, and they saw that Zechariah couldn't speak, and now he could speak. Question, do you think there was, because of Elizabeth's and Zacharias's willingness and a new heart that God had gave them to yield to him and to be used by him, all these other people's experienced things that were coming from the Lord as well. They were the blessings overflowed. No doubt Elizabeth and Zacharias' lives were filled all the way up to the brim, and no doubt overflowing and flowing into these other people's lives, and yet they forgot that when he became a man, didn't they? See how quick we are to forget? And in fact, really, this is why you say that, why you see in the scriptures that many times they didn't like John, did they, as a man when he was preaching. But they never said that he wasn't a prophet of God, because that would have riled up the people. And they knew that. See, but let's stay in that fellowship. Let's stay in that relationship where God is interacting in and through our lives, even if the world isn't. What is the first thing that's going to happen before the Lord's return and before things start going crazy? It's an apostasy. In other words, people that once believed the truth turn away from it. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to see it now. You're going to see it today like never before. I promise you. Do you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory, okay? Not conspiracy theory. But these cell phones, they're listening. You think just when you say, hey, Siri, she's listening? You think just when you say, Alexa, Google, you think that's the only time? Oh, we're going to perk up now. Let me wake up and hear what you're saying. Wait a minute. Listen. They are not happy, and they are trying to say that if you preach Jesus Christ, they're saying that's hate speech. It's not. It's the love of God. Amen. If you believe it to be a fairy tale, like I've often said, why is it two faiths, there's two faiths that rile up the world, Judaism and Christianity, the Judeo-Christian values, you've heard that, and that's because it's one book. Amen. It is one book. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, and the devil can't stand it. And so listen, we need to draw near the Lord, because I don't know which, you've already seen all these things with AI and what's going on and how they're able to produce things and reproduce things, and all this information is all out there. And listen, you already see the hatred towards the Jewish people, God's people, that are not just in our nation; it's throughout the whole world. And I don't know if you heard about these deans that came from Harvard and University of Penn State, and there's another Ivy League school, and they would not deny. They were just saying, one of the senators were saying, hey, listen, I mean, is this wrong, treating Jewish kids like this that are on campus? Is this not wrong? And, well, you know, it all freedom of speech, freedom, you know, whatever it was. And now one of the donors said to the Ivy League school, said, hey, guess what? You're not getting my $100 million. Oh, well, this one needs to resign now. But wait a minute, that's just because they got caught. So all this undercurrent, they've been doing this for years. How in the world, listen, I'm not talking about Palestinian and foreign students. I'm talking about American students that are choosing to be anti-Semitic towards Israelites, towards God's people. That's in our nation, in our Ivy League schools. What in the world is going on? And they don't like this. They don't want this to be known. They want it under the table so that they can do their dirty work and corrupt our society. We're already there. I don't know. Listen, our nation, is it fair to say this? Our nation is not what it once was when we called it a nation under God. Now it's got all kinds of different philosophies and teachings that are going on. And so I think it's very important for you and me as God's people to be committed to our God. And listen, before we go out and make a stand, we need to be faithful to the Lord, unless we run out like the Israelites did. Oh, we'll take over the land now. No, God said, don't do it. Listen, God says, wait upon me first. Wait upon me. Let me work in your life. Then you'll know my direction. Don't just go out there going in this way and that way and trying to stand up for this and for that. That's not. No, God says, seek who? Seek what first? Him and the kingdom of heaven in our own lives. Let's have a real relationship with the Lord so that we know that we're in step with the Lord and he will give us his wisdom and we will know how to answer, that they won't be able to refute what God gives to us. That's what God intends for all of us. Listen, did he not say, who did he say was the light of the world? You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And why is that? Because Christ dwells within you through the Spirit of God. And so we need to experience this. Let me ask you that in a life-changing way. Did Elizabeth, listen carefully. Did Elizabeth and Zacharias have the promise of God in a life-changing way? Was God working in their lives? Did the work of God overflow into the lives of the neighbors and the cousins that were there? That's how God works. He wants to work in your life and in my life, that the work of God overflows out of our lives and into the lives of others in whom we come in contact. The Holy Spirit is released out of our lives. And listen, the hardness of self, God has to break so that the Spirit of God can come forth and do his work. That's why the church flipped the world upside down, because they waited for the power from on high to come upon them, and it was all in God's timing. And so God has already given to us the working of the Spirit to overcome all these things that he wants out of our lives, that we might be a holy and a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. And that's where I believe you and me as children of God need to start. Let's not just, well, yes, you're right, we're going to stand. No, we don't have the power of God until we stop and say, Lord, I need you to overcome what I know is wrong in my life. And when I see that taking place, then I know you can lead me. That will keep us from putting our foot in our mouth and looking quite foolish and not being able to stand the way the Lord wants us to. Let's expect God to do everything he has promised to every one of his children, and that is to be his light and his salt. And so God is doing this work in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And here's the last thought as we consider this. And this is how God works among his people when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 67. In fact, let's read verse 66 again, and then we'll go to verse 67. And all they that heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Did you see that? That's what we want. The hand of the Lord with us. But that doesn't. This is not how it works. Ready, God? Lord, come this way. Give me your hand. Come this way. No, the Lord is saying, follow me. You submit yourself to me, and then I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you don't know, that will honor and glorify my name and bless your life. So the hand of the Lord was with him at the bottom of verse 66. Look at verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with what? And prophesied, saying, listen, nothing, this is amazing. Look at what he says now. And this is because the Holy Ghost was upon him. And we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit like never before. Amen? And so the ability is, God is indwelling us. And we just need to walk with the Lord for him to fulfill this. So notice what happens. He says, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And listen. Has anything happened? Has John even preached one message yet? But he sees it as already being done. You know why he sees it as already being done? Because God is leading him. And God is revealing to him. And in his heart, see, that's faith. Ready? Watch this. Listen. God has already empowered your life and mine in the power of the Spirit. He has empowered you to think right thoughts, kind thoughts, gentle thoughts. All we have to do is say, Lord, not will you do it. Praise God, you have done it. That's when you receive. As long as, oh Lord, make me this. Oh Lord, and he's just like, when you got saved, I indwelt you. When you got saved, I gave you everything. All the promises are yours. And it's, let me ask you this. Do you pray every morning for God to save you? Every morning, do you pray, oh God, save me? You know what that says? You're not saved. If you make that prayer, oh God, will you die on the cross for me? Oh God, will you die for me? Will you save? No. What do you say? Praise God. What did he do? He saved me. You know that's the same way we receive all the promises. Lord, bring me to the place to see. They're all mine already. And so today, I am going to walk in that truth. Is that the truth? All right. Now here it is. Ready? That does not mean that you're not going to have failures. But so be it unto us according to our faith or our trust in what God has said. And so what happens is the natural man gets in the way of the new man. The old man, the new man. You'll see that in the scriptures. And so we want to walk in the new man. And I need God to show me how to walk and how to stay in the new man. I battle it. Listen, I battle it. But I've seen the victory of the Lord that amazes me. And it causes me to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that you have brought. I can't do this. I know I can't. And so when I see it, it's God doing it. There's no doubt in my mind. Do you know what God does? He just says, let me show you more. Let me show you even more than that. Is there an end to the Lord? There's no end to his promises. Okay, so follow this. He says, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Question, who was born? John. Was Jesus born yet? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The Redeemer's not, but look how he sees it. For he visited and redeemed his people, verse 68, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. They've been hated all their existence. They've been hated, all right? To perform the mercy promised to our fathers. That's the Redeemer. And this hasn't happened yet. But do you see how he's seeing it? It's already done. Amen. All right. Listen, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. How many days of our life? So listen, that's what we need to ask the Lord to do for us, that we might serve him in righteousness and in holiness. Lord, from this point forward, all the days of my life, that I might walk with you. All right. Verse 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. His son's looking at his son, you know, saying, look, and praising the name of God, and to prepare his ways. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. And Zacharias saw that with God, it's all done. And may God give us that insight to walk in the promises. Listen. All of the promises are in this book that God has given to all of his people. When does God want us to have possession of those? Now. Not tomorrow. Not when we pray it through, we go through this much. And I'm not saying fasting is wrong. There's times to fast, right? There's certain things that we're praying for, people to be saved. That's all well and good. But as far as your personal experience with God, you've been given everything on the day of your salvation. I want you to know something. I have been given everything on the day of my salvation, and it has taken me probably 25 or so years. I've let you in on a little secret. God has been teaching me this as I've been here with you. I have never understood it like I have since I've been here, and I've been learning more and more, and I've been seeing more and more as I've been here with you. And I will tell you, my wife is. This has probably been. Listen, we have plenty of room for growth, but I would say, this has been the church that I have seen that really loves the Lord, and has been very good to us. And so, you know what I say? Praise the Lord for God's blessings in your life and in my life. Praise. That's the way it works. We are a body, hand, foot, eye, arm. I don't know how, you know, whatever part of the body we are, to work in sync and in unison with the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his honor and glory. And may we call upon the Lord to work in us his perfect will for his glory and for the edification and growth of the body. I want you to know, I do want to, and I know you want to, I want to see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for the honor and glory of the Lord. But I want you to know how God does that. He's going to do that as you and me are filled and led and controlled, or may I say yielded, to his Holy Spirit. We get it wrong. We get the cart before the horse for us to think, well, you know what? If we had a youth pastor, and if we had, who are we looking to? If we had this program, I'm not against those things. But I want you to know God's concern. Study the book. He's concerned about our personal walk with him. And this, listen, tell me this is not wrong. Let's say we had a youth pastor, and let's say he and his wife, I mean, let's say they were in their 20s. Let's say they were in their mid-20s, perfect age, right? And they were going out and they were bringing all the kids in. Wouldn't you say, we are the church. I don't need to do anything. If you saw kids coming in, oh, we're okay now. If you saw young couples coming in, what difference is that going to make personally in your life, in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what it will do. I don't need to pray anymore. I mean, the windows of heaven are open, praise God. And I'm for young people coming in, young families coming in. I don't want the church to die. But I want you to know what God's concerned with. The church that's here right now and the church that's unable to be here tonight that we have already. God is wanting to make... So listen, I'm not against that. And I'm not saying we don't need those things. But if we're not careful, we'll be settled on our lees. And the taste won't go from... The flesh won't leave us if we don't see it. Oh no, Lord, I need you. And here's... Listen, let's do it this way. Ready, Lord? You have your will and your way in my life. Let your light shine in my life. Not in a youth pastor and his family and through the... Let your light shine in my life. Let me be soul conscious to pick up one track and to hand it out to one person by your grace. Because it's your responsibility and my responsibility to be a witness to the world. And so let me ask you to yourself, how faithful are you to hand out a gospel tract every week? And I just say, do one. Let God plant a seed. Let God do it. And I'm not trying to make us feel guilty at all. But listen, That's God wants us to be, to go forth and to propagate the gospel. There, take your flavor. There's plenty of good gospel tracts that are there, and take your choice, and then ask God, Lord, give me somebody. Lay somebody on my heart as I'm out through the week to, that I might hand them out. See, it needs to be. I will tell you how it's always been. It's always been, and correct me if I'm not wrong, in soul winning programs, it's always been about 10% or so, give or take. Give you 15% of the church role that would be busy about gospelizing or sharing the gospel with, and then everybody else is okay. Because people are coming in and I don't need to do anything. But who did God commission? Who did God commission to propagate the gospel? All of us. You have a responsibility before the Lord to deliver the goods that he's given to you to the world. And so listen, all I'm saying is just one track a week. Let the Lord lead you however he wants you, but if at least once a week, somebody in a grocery store, somebody at the gas station, somebody somewhere, you're going to run into somebody, and just tell them however the Lord leads you. Listen, will you read this later? Can I give you an invitation to our church? However you want to say it. But let the Lord use you. But wait a minute. It's not just handing out tracts. It's also Christ working in us to transform our lives to his likeness. So I'm convinced, and correct me if I'm wrong, God will be honored by his church if his church will call upon him to do his work in our lives. Because if we're not asking, I promise you, we're looking at ourselves and we're saying, I'm not that bad of a person. Well, no. You know, we've been given the righteousness of Christ, but is the righteousness of Christ living through our lives? Is the Spirit of Christ, is are people sensing and picking up the Spirit of Christ in our lives? Because, look, do you see how it spread in their lives? And listen, God wants us individually to be Elizabeth and Zacharias. And what I mean by that is filled with his Spirit, that we can touch people with the Spirit of Christ and souls will be saved. And again, I want you to know, I am all for you. My wife and I, she was saved on a bus ministry, in case you don't remember or don't know. And we were involved, heavily involved, throughout our young married life in junior church, in bus visitation, and all of that. I'm all for that. But even more important than those things is our personal relationship with God. How is God changing our lives to be like him? And the only way that happens is if we say and believe that that's Lord, the Lord's will for our lives, and that he has already given it to us, and that we can trust him in that. And so tonight, the title of the message was, And They Rejoiced With Her. Listen, how come? Because God blessed her, and the blessings that God gave her spilled into their lives. God wants to bless you and me, that the blessings of God might spill over into the lives of other people that we come in contact with. So tonight, will we call upon the Lord to do his will in the life of every believer? And the answer is, he will answer. All we have to do is call. Amen. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, we do thank you for your desire to use us as a church body. Lord, may we be completely yielded to you and trusting you to complete and to fulfill your will in our lives as you've promised. Bless Northwood Baptist Church. Bless the whole membership, Lord, those who are unable to be here tonight, those who have illnesses, and especially, Lord, those on the Born of Four prayer list that need to be saved. Open up their eyes to see their need to trust you. Again, bless your people tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.